You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
The moment got me thinking a lot about Parkway, about what we're trying to do in this community, about the move of God that we're contending for. You see, everyone here I think of is we're rowers, and we can't row on an individual basis. We can't row for ourselves. We have to pull together. If we're going to do something in this community, if we're going to see the move of God that we believe is here, if we're going to see the lost, the lonely, the bruised, and the broken be set free, we're going to see the addict be set free, we're going to see the prodigal son come back to Jesus, we're going to see the gospel be preached in our area, we have to pull together.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
The very worst sin that's ever been committed was the murder of the Son of God. The very best thing that ever happened on this planet was the death of the Son of God. And if God can make the worst thing the best thing, He can make your disappointment, even your sin, even your foolishness, work together for good. I've only known this young man for probably a little over a year, and I can tell you in that year's time, I know DJ Moore and I know Ashland, and they love Jesus. And I believe that this moment's ordained. God doesn't make mistakes. I believe this moment's ordained for DJ to come up here and share and give us the word that he's been given by God for us. So, DJ.
Hi, how's everybody doing? We got a hot mic. Good? All right. For those of you that don't know me, my name's DJ Moore. My beautiful wife, Ashlyn, over there with the beanie. You probably see her more than me because she's up front singing on Sundays. I'm usually in the back playing wrong notes on the bass. I do my best not to, but it happens. Ashlyn, come on. Turn the phone. No, I'm just kidding. Is that Keith? What are we doing, Keith? No, I'm just kidding. So that's where you might recognize me. I know. I feel bad. Everyone's always targeting poor Keith. You probably don't see a lot of me and my wife because we're usually serving with the youth. That's our passion. That's our calling. We're either in class on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, doing more with the high school these days, and that's our calling. That's our passion. We love young people. We've been in some form of youth ministry for the last 10 years, doing junior high ministry, doing youth ministry. I was a part of Pastor Jay's internship, the Fuel the Fire internship. That's where I met my beautiful wife. I've got wonderful stories. Will I share them? Who knows? We might go off notes. But that was a great time. I was blessed. Some of you have heard my testimony. Some of you I have the pleasure of knowing, but some of you may not know me. But I shared my testimony. I think the first 2 months I was here, I was incredibly nervous. I remember I was sitting on a stool. We did it interview style, and Chase was asking me questions, and everyone kept making fun of me. I pace a lot. I don't know if you've noticed that. I'm very animated, and I kept doing this the whole time because I was chained to the stool. I don't have the stool, so now I can pace around freely. But I shared some of my backstory. I was raised in a wonderful home. My father was an evangelist, Donnie Moore. He traveled and did power team stuff. He was the chaplain for the Oakland A's, youth camps, anything you can think of, my father did under his ministry, and I was really blessed to see some incredible things, be a part of some incredible moments, and that's where my love and my passion for youth ministry came from, was from my dad. And he would pray a prayer at the beginning of all of his messages, one that I will pray right now. He would say, "Father, help. In Jesus' name, amen." And I certainly need it. So I'm honored to talk to you guys tonight. Pastor Jay, thank you for giving me the microphone. I know anytime a pastor gives someone the microphone, it shows a lot of trust. So thank you for trusting me. I'm excited. I've had this word on my heart for, quite a while, almost 8 months, I've had this word on my heart. It was a personal thing that I've just been meditating on, and I do feel like it's a corporate word for the church, and I'm excited to share it. So let me say a real prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that my words would go away, Lord, that you would be the one speaking tonight. I pray that this wouldn't be just some demonstration of ability to gain some type of favor with people, Lord God. It's not about me, Lord God. It's about you. Let your words go forth. Let your presence and your power be here tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So about 8 months ago, I went and saw this movie with Pastor Jay and Brooke. It was called Boys in the Boat. Has anyone seen that movie? Some have. I'll explain it. It's the true story about the Washington men's rowing team. It's an incredible movie. It's an incredible true story. I would highly recommend it. It's patriotic. It's inspirational. And it's about their journey, their ups and their downs to get to the 36th Berlin Olympics. Spoiler alert, they make it. It's pretty amazing. Sorry, I know most of you didn't see it. You should watch it. It's a true story. The 36th Olympics. Am I spoiling really anything? There's a moment in the film, you know, it's interesting. In the Bible, Jesus often communicates in parables. He communicates in metaphor to explain the truths of the kingdom. And I think he still does that today. It's interesting. A lot of the times, I'll see truths in mediums that are specific to me. And I think he does that for a lot of us, whatever that thing is. Some of you are outdoorsmen. Some of you like certain things. And you'll see the truths of the Bible in those things. So for me, it's movies. Sometimes I'll see something in a movie, and I'll go, that's a biblical principle. And there's a scene in the film where the coach, and you know, it's a classic underdog story. He's got a ragtag group of rugged individuals that he's trying to win the gold medal. And, you know, it's the ups and the downs of the journey. And there's a scene where he's talking to the main character, Joe. And he says, listen, he says, you're rowing for yourself. He says, in a boat, if you want to gain momentum, when all of you are rowing, it doesn't matter if you're all just rowing. You all have to be rowing in sync. You all have to be rowing together. You have to be rowing as a unit. He says, you can't pull for yourself. You have to pull together. And 8 months ago, it might have been longer. I think that movie came out in the Christmas time. I had just moved here. I was in a new community, meeting new friends, and I felt like that was a word for me saying, I want to start pulling with this church. I want to start pulling with Parkway. And the things we're trying to do in this community, I feel like we, how do I say this? I'll go to my notes. How's that? I often get out of my notes and then I get lost. The moment got me thinking a lot about Parkway, about what we're trying to do in this community, about the move of God that we're contending for. You see, everyone here I think of is we're rowers, and we can't row on an individual basis. We can't row for ourselves. We have to pull together. If we're going to do something in this community, if we're going to see the move of God that we believe is here, if we're going to see the lost, the lonely, the bruised, and the broken be set free, we're going to see the addict be set free, we're going to see the prodigal son come back to Jesus, we're going to see the gospel be preached in our area, we have to pull together. It's not about any individual person. It's about what we can do together as the body of Christ. That's what I felt so strongly when I heard that. And I've been thinking about that a lot. I've been thinking a lot about what that means. You see, everybody here has their own individual gifts and their own individual talents. I'll get to that in a moment. It's in Corinthians. You see, when we say we're pulling together, I'm not talking about uniformity in our personalities, in our gifts, and our talents, because all of those are unique traits to every single person here. You have your own gifts. You have your own talents. You have your own personality traits that make you unique to you, and you have keys that can unlock certain doors for certain people in this community. That's what makes the body of Christ so incredible, is that all of these people with different stories, with different backgrounds, who have been raised differently, all come together under the same roof. Why? Because we've all been saved by Jesus Christ. And we're under the same banner that we have the mandate to go out into the world and preach the gospel. So that's what's incredible. It doesn't matter if Bobby has a different story from Dave, who has a different story from Ashlyn. All of us have something that can minister to somebody else, young and old. It also doesn't mean that if you didn't grow up in the crack house, that you can't speak to the crackhead. That's not what that means at all. Sorry, is that crude language? Can I now call people crackheads? Crackheads need Jesus too. They need him. That's not what that means. If anything, look at the story of Pastor David Wilkerson, the switchblade and the cross. A Midwestern preacher who went to one of the roughest areas and started one of the greatest churches in America, Times Square Church, and started an incredible ministry. He didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't do drugs, but the power of the Holy Spirit moved through him to help reach a community. 1 Corinthians. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge of the same Spirit, of faith to the same Spirit, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, works of miracles in the same Spirit, prophecy. We all have different giftings. All of in Corinthians, it talks about we might have different ways that our gifts manifest, but we're all one body. It says further, Corinthians 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am a hand, I don't belong on the body, and that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, a little humor here, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. It's talking about we are the body of Christ. I'm going to skip ahead to verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You see, we're all one body. I felt inspired to speak this message because I feel like the Sunday night crowd, this is... And this is not to say that everyone who isn't here isn't, a leader that's helped pushing the church forward. But there's something about the Sunday night crowd. What I'm trying to say is the Sunday night crowd, I feel like we're a lot of the leadership and the people that are really trying to push the church forward. We're all pulling together. We're all trying to... come under Pastor Jason's leadership, and it's not everybody who's just here. There are people that couldn't make it tonight. Maybe they're home. I'm not saying that they're not helping push forward. But this group here, I wanted to encourage that we're all part of the body, and we need to row together. So I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about that for the last, however long it's been, a year. I keep changing the time. It was 7 months ago. It was a year and a half ago. 10 years ago, I saw this movie. But I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking about how can I help pull together with my church? How can I help come under the leadership of Pastor Jay and pull and be a part and be in unity and walk as one, as one body, as we all have different giftings, to be as one for Christ? And then I was thinking about what is it that causes us to pull for ourselves? What is that thing? There could be a myriad of reasons, but what I felt in my spirit, and I'll share with you guys, there must be a death of the ego. The death of the ego. You see, ego is the death of progress, and it's the absence of love. You see, when the ego is fully manifesting, when we become self-centered and we start to look at things through the lens of self, we're neglecting the two principles that Jesus said. In fact, he phrased it like this. I'll just read it. This is the first and great commandment. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And what's the second? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything is built upon these two commandments. Love God and love people. It doesn't say, though, love self. When we start to elevate self and see everything through the prism of how I feel, what this person did to me, my opinion, You know, if I was in charge of the remodel, this is what I would do. You know, if I was going to pick the carpet out, you know, I don't like gray, I like blue. It's a silly example, but you know, it's those little things that cause division in the body of Christ. All the enemy had to say to Eve was, did God really say that? Not much of a statement, is it? But it's the seeds of doubt that begin to grow. Something so small can grow and cause division in the body of Christ. If we're all one body and we're trying to row together, we don't need division. God hates division. He hates it. It's an abomination to him. So the ego, the lifting up of self, what else does that look like? It looks like, you see, ego, it opens all of these doors. It, when you're so focused on what's going on internally, you start to focus less on empathy. You start to focus less on perspective of what someone else is going through. You start to focus less on what God is calling you to do within a certain situation, even if you're in the right. I'm not naive enough. I know I'm younger, but I've been through a few complicated situations. And there are times where I felt like I was in the right in these situations. And the ego started to rise up. And that sense of self-justice began. But sometimes you have to say, God, how do you want me to act and react in this situation? Love God. And God, what is this person going through that would cause them to act in this way? Love people. Love God, love people. We're not seeing it through the lens of self. Seeing through the lens of self, I think you get it. I could go on forever and ever. Seth, if you want to come back up to the guitar, I'm not going to go long. I promise. Love God, love people. What is love? Well, Corinthians, it says love is patient, love is kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. I know you only hear this verse at weddings, but maybe I'll bust it out today. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So, if I'm trying to pull as one body under the banner of the Great Commission to preach the gospel to the lost in my community and under the leadership of my pastors, and I want to gain momentum by pulling in unity, I've got to die to the self, because the self is going to, everything is going to start falling apart. It's me focused. It's me. I got to die to that. And what is the antidote? It's love. It's love God. It's love people. The two commandments that everything is built on. So the greatest example of this, well, not the greatest, I can say for me personally, a great example. Sometimes I speak in hyperbole, forgive me. The greatest example of all time is this one story I'm going to tell you. Get ready. No, there was a story. What year was it? Was it 20? When went to Spokane? 2015. It's my first year at the internship. Aslan was there. Leanna was there. And of course, Pastor Jason, our fearless leader, was there. I just thought of, by the way, this camera is probably, am I just in and out the entire time? Do they just see someone occasionally preaching? Dude, if I ever speak in the main sanctuary, I might not. They're going to hate me if they have to follow me with the cameras. It's going to be a nightmare. Anyway, where was I? Spokane, 2015, Pastor J.R., fearless leader. So, it's my first year of the internship. I didn't know a whole lot of people. I moved out of Stockton and moved up to Vacaville. I was living with our senior pastors at the time. I knew them. I knew Pastor Jay. I didn't know him super well, but I knew him. Leanna was probably my closest friend who I knew. We had we'd known each other from camps, so we were friends. But I didn't know a lot of the people. And all of us, there was maybe 12 of us, 15 of us, new interns, 18, just going after the call of God. Our very first intern event. He's laughing. It's in Spokane, Washington. So we go up to Spokane, Washington, and we were going to do these outreach nights. And what it was is we would get with a local church, and they would invite a bunch of people to come, you know, invite your friends, invite, you know, and then we would have these outreach nights where there'd be a human video and some music and whatever things we could muster up to get people there. This guy's going to juggle. Not really, but it was just anything we could get to draw a crowd of lost people. And then Pastor Jay, the structure was, you got three separate students or interns who are going to share their testimonies, all from different backgrounds. And then Pastor Jay was the closer. He was going to come up and he was going to give the altar call. So that's kind of how we ran the outreach nights. And so we show up, we go to the pastor. We're like, hey, we're ready. I think we're like 2 hours out from service. Hey, what was the marketing, this and that? Who's going to be here? He goes, huh? What? And we said, huh? What? Hmm? And after we did that for a little bit, he said, oh, we didn't market at all. We go, oh, okay. Well, that's great. It's in 2 hours. Did you invite anyone? He goes, oh, we didn't even announce it. I go, well, great. It's in 2 hours and nobody's here. And we drove up to Washington. So it was so cool. All of us, we were like, we got to get, can you say butts? I'll say tushes. We got to get tushes in these seats. So for the next hour and a half, we scavenged the land of Spokane, Washington. If you were a bum on the street, if you were in a park minding your own business, we were like, come on back to the church. We'll buy you pizza. What do you want? $15? It's all I got. We found any reason to get people there. It's truly one of the most miraculous things I've ever been a part of. Not because of anything we did. I'll tell you what I was doing that night. It wasn't that impressive. But we rallied, and all of a sudden, my dude Cisco was in a van, one of my fellow interns, knocking on, they had a church van. He's like, can I get the keys? Knocking on people's doors, and they were like, yeah, you can take our kids. That's insane. That's insane. Thank the Lord we're trustworthy. I don't know what's going on in Spokane. They're like, take them. All right. Anyway, we're like, we get there. We're, 15 minutes out. I look. There's how many people? 100 plus people? It's packed. And it was a rambunctious group. I was in the back. There was kids with chairs trying to hit each other during worship. And I was like, hey, not that kind of event. Here's another $15. Stop fighting. It's just a crazy group. And man, each one of those students got up and they talked about what God did in their life, the transformation power, about how some of the lowest moments of their lives, how Jesus found them. And they preached the gospel, each one of them, their own versions of their own stories. Pastor Jay got up, closed out. 80 people got saved that night. I don't want to be hyperbolic in that, but it was hands everywhere. Salvation. And I just sat there, and the presence of the Holy Spirit fell. And at the altar, people were getting saved. And all of a sudden, us 18-year-old knuckleheads are praying for these people. People are being set free. It was a total move of God that came out of absolute spontaneity. Incredible. And it wasn't about us. It wasn't about what we could do. All we had the mindset of is we got to get people here because they got to hear the gospel. That's all we cared about. And sure enough, that's what happened. If a bunch of knuckleheads in 2 hours can wrangle that many lost people to hear the gospel, what more can our church do? What more can the body of Parkway do as we start to pull together, as we start to let the ego set aside, the flesh die down, as we don't care as much about the this and the that and she said that. In fact, the only thing we're going to care about is reaching the lost. That's going to be our main focal point. And if a bunch of knucklehead kids can round up 100 people in 2 hours, what more can our church do in the time that we're here if we unite and we pull together? I am believing that a move is already here. I'm believing for miraculous things in our area. So I'm not going to bloviate. They're going to lead us in a worship song, if you don't mind, Seth. And I'm going to pray us out. Here's the takeaway. My dad always said, when you're speaking to young people, you got to have a takeaway. And I'll give you guys a takeaway. Because you're all young people. You're welcome. We gotta pull together. We can't pull for ourselves. We gotta let the flesh die. We can't be self-centered. We gotta be God-focused and others-focused. That's the takeaway. That's it. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that in all my imperfection, in all the ways that I screw screw up and speak poorly, Lord God, it's not about any of that, Lord. It's about you. And I ask that anything that you said tonight would just get a hold of the hearts of Parkway, Lord God. That we would not be self-focused, that we would be you-focused, that we would be others-focused, that we would unite under one body, Lord God, to start to move forward in our community, Lord God. And we're praying for a move of God that we believe is already here. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing. And in your name we pray, amen.
Yes, Lord. DJ, you missed the best part of that story. It was when they were praying for people and I was in the middle of casting a demon out. And DJ comes over to me and he says, PJ, there's a person who says that they have a demon and I don't really know what to do. And I think I patted you on the shoulder and said something like, you got this, just go pray. You want to be part of a church that's not normal, go win the lost. And not normal comes in your room. And that's what I think the stirring and hunger in this room is that we're all attaching to. Is church just to clean the same fish over again is great, it's wonderful. We're all in the wonderful boat that is, but it's not really what our mandate is. Our mandate is to go win the lost. And man, as I was been praying for 2025, I said it this morning. I feel like 2025 is going to be the greatest year of soul winning outreach that this church has ever seen. And I recognize that I'm, when I say that, picking a fight with the enemy and picking a fight with the principalities and powers and the rulers of this age. And I'm believing that by the time we get to fall 2025 and we have our re-grand opening, I'm believing for 1,000 people on our campus, not because of numbers, I could care less about that, but representing lost people who don't know Jesus. And there's that anointing when lost people get in the room and you give a call. That's what I'm after. I was reminded of a John Bevere sermon when he was sermonating on the bait of Satan. And he was talking about a vision that a prophet had that in the last days, he saw the church rising up to go win the lost. And he said the enemy was not just in front of them trying to withstand and withhold them, but the enemy tried to flank the church. And in this prophetic vision, they looked over to the flanking of the enemy coming to the side, and he noticed that the enemy that was flanking them on the left-hand side wasn't riding horses like the people in front, but they were actually riding a word shaped like a horse. And when he looked, he saw the word offense. And to your word tonight, I was reminded so powerfully that the church has bought into the flanking of the enemy, how we have gotten so egotistical and we get offended by everything. And it's a mature body of believers that is actually going to rise up and win the lost. And the first battle that we've got to face is the one of offense. It's the one of ego. It's the one where we say, like enemy be gone in Jesus' name. And that is a distraction. And we're going to walk in forgiveness and grace and mercy for each other so that we can get on to the thing that we're actually called to do, which is win lost people for Jesus. And I believe that there is such a hunger, especially from the young generation that says, man, we're so tired of the church just being known for, you know, church hurt or offense and how they're doing it wrong. But we want to be part of a body that learns how to walk in maturity, that can actually go win the lost and actually be in wonderful, wonderful community with each other. And so that's my prayer, DJ, as I'm walking out tonight. I'm going to be reminded that we've got to get eyes on the prize, that we've got to speak to offense, be gone and rebuked in Jesus' name. And we're going to love God and we're going to learn how to love people again. And we're going to see, I believe in Jesus' name, souls that are going to be saved in 2025 like never before. And let's not wait to the fall. Let's go to work right now on planting seeds and watering seeds in this community and believing that God's going to do it. So Lord, it's yours tonight. It's yours. That you would put our eyes back on what it needs to be put back on, which is loving you wholly and completely and learning how to love each other so that we can go win the lost. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Love you guys. Thanks for being here tonight. Make sure you give DJ a big high five and thank him for sharing tonight.